What's going on, everybody? Welcome into, I would call it an emergency edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, although we were supposed to record anyway on a Tuesday edition right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It was going to be Gino Camilleri joining me to my left, my co-host. It was going to be stock up, stock down, getting into more from the Eagles-Vikings game. But then, probably an hour before our scheduled recording, go on Twitter to find Adam Schefter tweet out, "It's happening. Jalen Ramsey has been traded for 2 first-round picks and a 4th. Not to the team we were hoping. I was hoping to see a P there coming up. Philadelphia. Nope, it was Los Angeles. Jalen Ramsey is headed to the Rams. Today's segment one is brought to you by Roman. The folks at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Get $10 off your first order of Swipes and free 2-day shipping by going to getroman.com/lockedonNFL. And this was just so disappointing, Gino, because this was the move that I feel like they had to make. Whereas last year, we talked about it on the podcast on Monday, where you didn't have to trade for a running back last year. Even though you really needed one, you didn't have to get to where you want to go. This year, with the cornerback position, you need somebody there if you want to get back to title contention. And when the best player on the market, the best player in the league, excuse me, is available at 24 years old, yes, he went for 2 first-round picks and a 4th, but if you're Howie Roseman, like, you didn't even have to trade for Jadeveon Clowney. I wasn't flipping out about him not trading for him, even for the low compensation he went to Seattle for. You, to me, needed to go all in on this Ramsey move, and I think the Eagles screwed the pooch on this one.
Yeah, I can say that this is the second time in the past couple years that the Rams have done this to us. If we remember back a couple years ago to Brandon Cooks when he was going to get traded out of New England.
Right, I didn't even think of that.
We were one of the teams that was considered that he would come here, but then we ended up getting Alshon Jeffrey, and that worked out for the best, and Brandon Cooks lost back-to-back Super Bowls, so never forget that. But yeah, this is definitely a tough pill to swallow. Within 5 minutes, my Yankees lost Game 3 today, and
tough
I find out
Gino
that
today.
Jalen Ramsey gets traded. So I kind of went into shock, and I didn't even say a word to my fiance for probably like 45 minutes. I was really upset about that because it's one of those things that it's like, I'm fine with trading 2 first-round picks and a 4th because the Eagles, you're sitting here, you have one of the oldest rosters, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey is 24 years old.
At a position you desperately need.
You desperately need, much like a couple of years ago with Brandon Cooks, you failed to pull the trigger again, even though I'm fine with Alshon Jeffrey. So now it's how are we going to rebound again, and we'll get into that. But you're here again, a 24-year-old all-pro, still on his rookie contract, at a position in need where you still have a lot of question marks, not just today, not just this coming up week, but for next year and the year after that and a couple years after that.
Yeah, because Mills and Darby are free agents this year.
As of right now, you have Sidney Jones, who knows how long he's going to be here on his rookie deal. He's looking like a guy who needs a change of scenery. You look at Rasul Douglas as probably the guy that they will re-sign. Cravon LeBlanc, still under contract, signs that extension. But right now you have a young Avante Maddox who's still, what is he in this defense? Mm-hmm. Cravon LeBlanc is a strictly slot corner. You don't know what you have in Jalen Mills, who hasn't played in nearly 365 days.
Yep.
Ronald Darby isn't a cornerback one, which we have made him out to be. And frankly, shouldn't have been re-signed this year, and frankly, shouldn't be re-signed next year. So, you're sitting here with a whole bunch of question marks, and I said at the last show that on paper, Howie Roseman did enough to support this cornerback group. But in the reality, we know what it is. And you sit here, week 6, you just got torched by Kirk Cousins for 333 yards. Stephon Diggs had 2 of the longest touchdowns against your defense this season. And you see Jalen Ramsey get traded to an in-conference opponent, the team that you were one game away from playing
in the NFC Championship last year. You saw Marcus Peters go like a couple hours before for, what, an inside linebacker from Baltimore. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, I would have gave them Kamu Grugia-Hill for Marcus Peters.
Even though Marcus Peters isn't great.
Yeah, but I'm feeling fine about it because I'm like, okay, I'm still remembering Chris Mortensen's report in my head from the day before. The Eagles keep calling about Jacksonville. I even tweeted out today, like, the Eagles are probably going all in for Jalen Ramsey. Like, that's the move they want to make. And then it's the Rams that go after him. That's frustrating because the Rams are 3-3 right now, and they're a team that you're going to be competing with for not just, I mean, we thought it was going to be Super Bowls, but right now it could be. And, of course, the NFC East should be the goal, playing Dallas this week with a chance of being at first place. But you never know. Last year, they had to get in with the wild card, the sixth seed. The Rams right now are third in their division at 3-3. With Jalen Ramsey, that boosts up another team that the Eagles are going to have to worry about. So that's frustrating. Not only that a 24-year-old elite cornerback was available that you desperately needed, but then he goes within the conference against a team that is going to be pushing you, I think, for years to come. So, look, I don't think Howie Roseman's Danny Ainge. You NBA Sixer guys out there that are calling Howie Ainge. Like, the guy did, I mean, I feel like you can't just forget what happened the past 4 years, how aggressive he has been.
Danny Ainge has
not won. I mean, come on. Like, Howie Roseman has almost started the trade era of the NFL. He went out and traded for DeSean Jackson this year, Malik Jackson, and Jordan Howard. So I don't want to hear that Howie Roseman's not aggressive just because he didn't get Clowney and Ramsey. But at the same time, you're a team that, like you said, you're older, you need young stars, and especially at the cornerback position, it is frustrating. I like what you said when you were tweeting it out today after the trade went down, how your value when it comes to draft picks versus star players. And I don't think it doesn't matter because they already have a franchise quarterback. To me, whoever you take within your next two first-round picks and that fourth, to me, will not meet the value of what Jalen Ramsey would be for this Eagles roster right now, but for the next, what, 10 years? I mean, he's 24 years old. This isn't a 32-year-old. This isn't Nnamdi Asamoah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you look back at the history of cornerbacks in the NFL draft. You look at the last couple years.
Look at just our history.
I'm not even saying like the entire history of the draft. Like, yeah, Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, second and third round picks. I'm saying just in the first round alone, how many of those guys that get taken in the first round even contribute in their first year? You get Marshon Lattimore.
Yeah.
You think Jalen Ramsey. Marlon Humphrey still had like an up and down rookie season.
Guys like Dre Kirkpatrick took like 7 years.
Kirkpatrick took a long time to get in. You look at guys like Trey Waynes or Darquez Dennard. They haven't really panned out. Cornerback is one of those positions.
Even Xavier Rhodes didn't become this elite corner for Minnesota for a couple years.
Yeah, it's a definitely position that, especially in college where these defense or offenses are more spread, and especially you look at some of these conferences like the Big 12 where these guys are just, or even look at Sidney Jones out in playing in the Pac-12, that spread style of defense that you're going against. It's a different ball game when you get to the NFL, so that adjustment period for these guys that aren't stars. But you had a star in Jalen Ramsey that you could have put in the field this upcoming week against Dallas with or without Amari Cooper.
How many picks would they still have over the next 2 years?
They have 17 picks currently.
Yeah.
The Rams traded 3 picks, 2 first-round picks and a fourth. They still would have had 14 draft picks, which would have been the culmination of 2 full draft classes. But then you have to look at the roster as it is shaped now. Ronald Darby, we have talked about, they undersigned him at what his market value should have been. Probably should have been closer to $11, $12 million for what corners have been getting
out
there.
That's what we thought it was going to be.
So next year, if he gets that on the open market, that could be a third or a fourth round comp pick. So that's another pick right there. Factor in probably over the next 2 years, 2-3 comp picks, let's say, between the two, just to call it like 1.5 per year.
Based on what's been happening in the past couple
years.
You're
back up to 17 picks. There's no reason that you can't, let's say, trade, hypothetical, Ertz or Alshon Jeffrey become necessary trade bait in 2 years. You trade one of them and get some more draft picks. Things like that are going to change. NFL rosters are fluid situations, but the one thing that is that shouldn't be fluid and that should always be a static measure in the NFL is to acquire good players that aren't question marks like draft picks would be and pay them money.
Well, that's been the Eagles. It's not like suddenly this is a thing, too, where this has been a consistent, repeatable offense by the Eagles. They have gone out and they've been willing to spend a third-round pick on Golden Tate because they know what his production has been. They wanted more help in the passing game. They doubled down on that instead of bringing in a running back, knowing if Tate leaves next year, which he did, they would get a compensatory pick back. So that's the frustrating part is our expectations were a lot higher than maybe other teams about adding Ramsey because the Eagles' track record the past 3 years. History under Howie Roseman in the second era of him being GM has told us that this would be a move that he would try to make. Mm-hmm. And then you keep hearing Mortensen say, hey, the Eagles keep calling them. So that's why there's a lot of disappointment, because it all just seemed to make just too much sense. The Eagles have been willing to give up draft picks for Carson Wentz and for Golden Tate and for Jay Ajayi and so on and so forth, and they needed a corner, and Ramsey wanted out. He wanted to play for a different team, and they've been willing to spend money on guys. It just all seemed to make sense, and that's why it's just it's really disappointing. And where they go now, we'll get into it coming up in the next segment, because they're look like we said on the podcast yesterday, the sky's not falling still. Mm-hmm. Not getting Ramsey doesn't mean they're not going to the playoffs this year. They're screwed for the next however many seasons. We're not there, but at the same time, it is very disappointing because they haven't been the strongest drafting team. I mean, for everything Howie Roseman, I think, is very good at, understanding value with trades and with the salary cap, right, and understanding the compensatory pick formula and having a forward-thinking mind with his front office, with the analytics department, right? I think the weak link for him, especially with Joe Douglas gone now, is his drafting. So being able to get a 24-year-old star player would be huge for them. And I won't say that he hasn't been drafting anyone that can be that. He did draft Carson Wentz. A lot of the players haven't got opportunities to be stars because they're behind still a pretty similar Super Bowl roster, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't say Dallas Goedert won't be a star. You can't say that about Avante Maddox yet, or Dillard or Sanders when he finally gets consistent in the running game, or even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So it's not fair to say that quite yet, but you know, as of right now, that's the weak part of this Eagles front office. So that's why I'm even more inclined to say, go take those two first-round picks. Because Jalen Ramsey, I know what he's going to give me for the next decade. We don't know what these next draft classes are going to give you.
Absolutely, and that's my whole thing, is you never want to wait on a question mark. And we did that with the cornerback position this year. Sidney Jones was a huge question mark. Ronald Darby was a huge question mark. Cravon LeBlanc still is a huge question mark. Avante Maddox still is a huge question mark.
We just hope some of those question marks will become answers.
And we,
like, good answers.
Exactly.
And it just happens to be right now, there's only been one positive result, and I feel like that's Douglas, and that's only to a certain ceiling.
I think this is the first time that this formula really came back to bite Howie. And I just think it's an unfortunate circumstance that a lot of these guys didn't pay off, because on paper, he did it the right way. And a lot of these people,
there were six of them.
These people that show the draft classes of a couple years back, I'm not a big draft class revisionist history guy, because it is what it is. But the thing with that is, Howie undid a lot of the wrongs that Chip brought him in with those draft classes and guys that he got rid of. He righted those wrongs. Even in classes when he missed on guys, like when he knew he missed on Nell Promphrey, he went out and got Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
He righted a lot
Corey
of those
wrongs. As an undrafted
exactly.
rookie.
Exactly. He righted a lot of those wrongs. So you can't say that this is all on Howie. Like, yes, the cornerback position, unfortunately, is in the state that it is. So we are just waiting on that next move. For everything. For the miss on Brandon Cooks, he went out and signed Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
He always has a backup plan.
The miss on Mike Wallace, he goes out and trades for Golden Tate, and then he doesn't pan out as well, so what does he do? He trades for DeSean Jackson in the offseason.
That's the thing about Howie Roseman, and in this wake of it being the MLB postseason, Howie's always going to swing the bat. Mm-hmm. He's just waiting for his pitch. And I truly believe that he cannot sit there, look at that cornerback group, and not have something in mind.
And that's why it's fair to criticize him for this, but
absolutely.
At the same time, not label him as now suddenly this conservative GM that doesn't realize the flaws of his roster. I think he's been very self-aware, unlike someone that we'll get into later on that could help turn around the secondary, and it happens to be a coach. So we'll get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, reacting to the news that Jalen Ramsey is moving to the NFC. But it's not to the city of brotherly love. It's over to the West Coast and LA joining the Rams, who are 3-3 right now, trying to turn around their season as well. Don't go anywhere. Lui DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Lui DiBiase and Gino Camilleri hanging out with you for the night, reacting to the news that Jalen Ramsey is not coming to the Eagles. He went to the Rams for two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick. Gino, again, like you said, to end segment one, Howie's got to know that he's got to make a move here.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, not bringing in Ramsey, I think, is very disappointing. It just made perfect sense. And even for the compensation, I would have been good with it. But there's still moves that he can make. The trade deadline is still a couple weeks away. It's the 29th, and right now it's the 15th, so he's still got 2 weeks to do something. And last year, they said we were hoping he would go out and make a move, and he did. He traded for Golden Tate. There are still players out there. So, I don't know. I mean, look, you got to do something, though.
Yeah.
We could say Patrick Peterson, Chris Harris. They got to make a move, though. Even without Ramsey, this doesn't end it for me. Like, we should still be pushing them, go get a corner.
Absolutely, and you've heard it, and why you hear all these names connected to the Philadelphia Eagles that are cornerbacks is for that exact reason in particular. Like, any time you hear Chris Harris's name or Patrick Peterson, there's always an Eagles connection, and the article that came out the other day about Patrick Peterson obviously had a connection to the Eagles. I was trying to dig up... I should probably go back and listen to the audio of that podcast we did last year with the proposed Patrick Peterson trade, just to see what the compensation was at that point, which was reported from, I forgot who it was, his
Joe
cousin.
Banner, right?
I don't know if it was Banner. It was one of those
guys. I thought
Banner
said they were going to give them a first. Or,
I don't
no,
think
it was
a
Cobb
first.
Trade?
I don't think it was a first. I can't remember. But
I think it was going to be Cobb for that first round pick, and that was going to be Peterson.
Okay.
That's what I'm almost... but the CBA, because that was the year there was almost a lockout in 2010.
Oh, no, I'm thinking about last year. Oh. Literally last year. Do you remember when we were talking about that? That Patrick Peterson, he wanted to get out of Arizona? I remember that.
Again last year.
Trust me. Trust me, I wanted Patrick Peterson way back in the day.
I forgot he was maybe available last year.
Yes, but yeah, I think it was... That was definitely a first-round pick. I remember that.
Yeah.
But this, I was talking about... It was reported by his cousin or something, who is a reporter, either a second or a third round, second and a third or something along those lines, which is probably how he's looking at it. He's like, can I get either Chris Harris or Patrick Peterson, who are going to want to be paid for a second or a third?
That's why I wait to rule Howie dead in the water.
Exactly.
Those moves could still be on the table for him, and he'd rather do those, maybe.
And you have to weigh out all your options. Like, let's look at Jalen Ramsey. If you give up 2 first-round picks and a fourth, yes, you're down 3 more draft picks, 2 first-round picks, and 2 very good upcoming classes, especially you look at this wide receiver class.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You look at the names like Jerry Jeudy,
CeeDee
Lamb.
You need speed. The Eagles need speed, and there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of good positions in this class, of course. But the thing is now, can you get one of these reserve guys, and that's what you have to do. And I look at Patrick Peterson and Chris Harris as being 2 options that aren't guys like Tremaine Johnson, aren't guys like Adoree Jackson, aren't guys Artie Burns is one of those names. Peterson and Chris Harris are game changers.
Yeah, like, they're not the 24-year-olds that you can have right now produce and for the next 10 years, but those guys have been star players in the league.
They'll get you by. And then some. Patrick Peterson can come and lock down a number one receiver. And there's a reason I wanted him last year, and there's a reason I want him right now.
Would the Dolphins consider trading Xavier Howard?
Yeah, that's
I think they'd be
name.
Nuts to do it, but
I'm just trying to just rattle off some of these names. I mean, I'm fine with taking a guy like Adoree Jackson. He's going to be better than what you have, but that's a big question mark. He also has
to
be
he's
paid.
Had a lot of inconsistencies, too.
Every option that you can go with is going to have a downside, and that's the thing about it. But what gives you
that's
the
why
best
I seem like
upside.
Ramsey, but that's why it's frustrating because I feel like Ramsey was the only one that just I couldn't find a downside.
Mm-hmm. If
you could say, I mean, Peterson and Harris, it's age. Harris is going to be
absolutely.
A free agent next year with Adoree Jackson. It's inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. Even William Jackson, like, he didn't come into his own until a couple years ago. Then he had an off year last year, and now he's back producing pretty well. And so that's the one thing is even like Jimmy Smith is another name now that the Ravens added Marcus Peters. Jimmy Smith, 31 years old. He's older. He's a free agent next year. He has a $9.5 million cap hit right now. Maybe that's a rental you consider. I actually wanted them to draft him out of Colorado in 2010. So, interestingly enough, I still think he's a good corner. But, yeah, like you said, there's no guy right now, though, that just perfect situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you follow me on Twitter, I make my voice vocal about this, especially in the NHL. Because right now, if you follow along the NHL, there's probably 4 to 5 game-changing players who are on the last year of a restricted free agent contract. And a lot of these guys re-signed for far less than the market value went because a lot of the GMs were scared to spend assets. And when you are scared to spend assets on players that are going to change your overall team, which Jalen Ramsey is one of those players that you win because of, that is just a very... It puts a bad taste in my mouth, because if you're scared to go down and get an asset like that and make a big gamble, it...
Does he think the roster is that far away? Maybe, like, does he think he needs those two first to replenish?
It just doesn't.
For me, like, what still do you? I mean, you do need to replenish it with young talent. You want young stars to emerge here,
and you're going
to
get some with 14 picks still. If you were to trade three away,
you could argue you need another speed receiver for the future. You could use another safety for down the road, probably another defensive lineman. But for me, like, the one thing you really, really need is a corner. That is the move you need. So even if that's his mindset, his perspective, that still leads me to an end result of trading for Jalen Ramsey.
Without a doubt. And I don't know. There's a lot of people that are against it, and there's a lot of people. I just don't understand how you sit here and just want to go back and are willing to be able to see Jalen Mills again and willing to be able to see Ronald Darby when you literally have a surefire. You have a...
In
Texas Hold'em, you have aces in your hole, man. Yep. You got two aces in the hand with Jalen Ramsey. Just one of those things. But what does Howie do now to follow it up? I'm still totally trustworthy
of
Howie.
Is that your big move you want right now? All the options. I mean, well, probably Xavier.
He hasn't played the first 6 weeks. He's fresh. So for a 29-year-old, that's huge.
Yeah.
You're going to have a guy that could come in and be a shutdown number one guy. The thing he has over Chris Harris is his size, which I would love to have him, especially
Harris has played a lot in the slot
to match up against Amari Cooper, especially to match up. I mean, see, like, who are you going to match up on Terry McLaurin? Like, guys that can run. Like, even Patrick Peterson and Chris Harris aren't 4-4 guys now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who Jalen Ramsey's for. Like,
yeah, right.
It's a tough predicament to be in, but...
Although Peterson's got speed. He kick returned a lot, LSU.
Heading to 30. That's what I'm looking at. But the thing is, how is Howie going to do this moving forward? Because tomorrow you're going to have practice. Does a move come before then? You have two open roster spots. You at least have to get somebody on the roster. Jalen Mills doesn't count for your roster for a maximum of 21 days. Why would you not even have somebody in the building to practice? Even if they're not going to play Sunday, you can waive them before the game and activate Jalen Saturday if you want to. There's no reason that they get rid of Zach Brown. They have an open linebacker spot at a position which they were already didn't have much depth, and now have a second open spot. Something has to be happening that we just don't see.
Yeah, and that's why I want to hold off complete judgment on Roseman right now until we see that, because, and again, I wanted Ramsey for sure. He, to me, deserves criticism for not making that move, but not to the extent of now, oh, what's he's got to do something. What's he not? He's going to sit on his hands. Like, for me, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there is something planned here. It could be Patrick Peterson for a lot less. It might only take a second and a third rather than two first-round picks and a fourth. He might be able to get Chris Harris for pretty cheap from Denver, or maybe he's planning a dual package like we mentioned the other day with Cincinnati of a William Jackson and an A.J. Green. You know, we still don't know what's happening, but what we do know is that they certainly do need to make a move here, because – again, unlike last year, the roster move you need the most. I think the biggest weak link of your team this year, I think, could decide your season, where last year it didn't. Not having Wendell Smallwood at running back clearly did not cost you the season. Could it have helped to have a guy back there to take over when Foles was struggling against the Saints? For sure. But if the cornerback position, if the inconsistencies continue here, regardless of who's playing back there, if the inconsistencies with coaching continues, this team can maybe make the playoffs, but they're not winning a Super Bowl. And that was the expectation. That is what we want, because now you've raised the bar. A wildcat berth now, to me, or wild card berth, excuse me, doesn't mean as much. It's not really...
You have bigger aspirations.
Yeah, we're not the Tennessee Titans. We're not the Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins. It's just that doesn't carry the same amount of weight. So I think they need to do something at corner. For our final segment, we will get to in-house, because the Eagles have won a championship with the talent they have at cornerback right now. They do have guys coming back this week. Jalen Mills activated from the PUP. Ronald Darby expected to practice this week. Is anything salvageable within the 53-man roster? Can they turn it around if they just don't make any moves. If Howie Roseman really doesn't make any big move at corner, what happens then? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri on this Tuesday edition of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. All right, everybody, we are wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe on any podcast provider or check us out on LockedOnEagles.com because we got 4 to 6 episodes a week as we get ready for this week, Dallas Cowboys week. Maybe no Amari Cooper, Gino. That's big news. The Cowboys might not have both starting tackles. So things are looking up
Tyron
from the
Crawford
matchup.
Crawford went on the IR today as well.
And the biggest move, the biggest news is the Cooper situation. Because the theme of today is cornerback, and you're getting Jalen Mills back, which, nice. That's another body here that...
You don't even really know, though. They haven't even activated.
Yeah, exactly. And even if he plays, he has not played since last year against Jacksonville, which was week 8 of the NFL season. You have Ronald Darby maybe coming back. I think he's just not that good of a cornerback. He's been a liability in tackling and in coverage this year, and he is the most injury-prone corner to me, even next to Sidney Jones, that this Eagles team has. So not having Cooper for Dallas is really big news for the Eagles, but throughout the season, you can't bank on a team's number one wide receiver not playing. You have to be able to at least contain them to a certain degree. While in 2017 and 2018, the secondary was not the best at cornerback, they still were able to get wins with the talent they have. I think it could be solved. Not to the level of adding a Jalen Ramsey or adding a Patrick Peterson. One thing that has to happen no matter what, even if they add one of those players, is Jim Schwartz needs to adjust. And I know it's like beating a dead horse on the show, but it has to happen. And today, during his press conference, it was pretty frustrating to hear him put solely, I think, the blame on personnel. He said there was miscommunications, but I feel like he was kind of insinuating that was more so on the personnel than it was on him. When someone asked, was it all about execution, he said no, a lot of it was scheme. All the schemes didn't work, which was kind of a backhanded, remark. For me, that was him blaming the players. So last year, the adjustments came after a Minnesota loss. On Thursday Night Football, they went more so towards cover two. They had Malcolm Jenkins playing back almost the entire game. They let the corners play up. I thought Ronald Darby had the best game of his career with the Eagles against that Giants team, against Odell Beckham. So it took a Vikings team, a Diggs and a Thielen, to thrash that secondary for Schwartz to adjust. They need to do that this week against Dallas because even if they don't have Amari Cooper, Geno, Michael Gallup is a fast receiver. He's the kind of player, like a Terry McLaurin, that breaks your secondary.
That's the thing. It doesn't just go into the personnel. A lot of it was, I think, Ben Solak did a great job breaking this down on Twitter. One play in particular on the breakdown in coverage that Malcolm Jenkins was supposed
on the second
to,
dig
he was supposed to gain depth on that route.
Yeah.
When guys like Malcolm Jenkins are breaking down in coverage, that's the scheme. That's the coaching. That's not these guys. Like,
and
they've been under Schwartz for the past since Doug has been here.
It happened against Washington. It happened against Atlanta. It wasn't just against Minnesota.
I've said this to you, Lou, in many different times across our tenure here at Locked On Eagles, that with that cornerback position and with the secondary, at what point do we start looking at the coaching being the issue in Corey Unlin and Jim Schwartz?
It is a huge part.
We should have started looking at this way before this week.
And I said it a couple days ago, and me and you, I think, have been some of the biggest critics when it comes to Eagles podcasts, just the media in general. I think a lot of people give Schwartz more credit or more of a leash than he deserves when it comes to coaching the secondary. I don't think he's a very good... our boy Liam Jenkins from Philadelphia Sports Network posted all of Schwartz's numbers as defensive coordinator for passing defense. And I can't tell you, I don't even think he was once in the upper half of the NFL.
The one year
in
Buffalo,
defense.
He was third.
Okay, all right. So, yeah. But everything else was like 19th, 23rd, 32nd.
And you know what he had that one year in Buffalo? Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, he also had one of the best pass rushes ever, too.
So,
and that will help.
Let's look at it. Stephon Gilmore, even though I don't believe he's as good as many people say, he's still a number one corner.
Right. They had
with an elite
someone.
Pass rush. by all metrics, the Eagles' pass rush is there. I don't want to hear that the pass rush isn't there. Kirk Cousins getting the ball out of his hand, according to NFL Next Gen Stats, in 2.59 seconds.
Yeah, you can't.
No front four is going to get there, especially.
Unless you go all-out blitz, like cover zero.
Or if you have speed edge, you would have to have a guy like Preston Smith
running a 4-3,
or, yeah, or Montez
and
Sweat.
And not getting touched by
exactly.
the way to get there.
Nobody's going to get like there in that many seconds, but that's the formula. That's how you have a good front. But Shiel Kapadia just tweeted this out too. When Eagles defense ranks against outside receivers, receptions 30th, yards 32nd, yards per reception 29th, touchdowns 32nd.
Like
you look at all these metrics. At what point does Jim Schwartz be held accountable? And I don't want to hear this nonsense excuse that it's not the scheme, all the schemes didn't work. If all the schemes didn't work, that means the guy that is putting the schemes in place isn't calling the right schemes. So get your guys in a place to win. If that means that you have to go smaller and play nickel or play dime, take a chance and try it. They're not even trying it. How many times did they have their base defense on the field last week? You talked about how many times they had multiple linebackers on the field. Get... as bad as it sounds, get Sendejo on the field. Like, get him on the field more.
Yeah, it does sound bad, by the way.
It does sound terrible, but
right,
sometimes
yeah.
it's okay to take a guy out of the box, get run against some more, and secure your pass defense.
Look, the personnel
especially
is bad.
When your yeah. pass defense is as bad as it is. And if you're not going to put Rasul Douglas or Sidney Jones or Avante Maddox or whoever the hell it is, put them in a position with safety help, which they so clearly need, you are going to lose against good to great to elite receivers every single time. It doesn't matter who you have in the defensive backfield. Unless that person was going to be Jalen Ramsey, but it's not. So, Jim Schwartz, how do you fix it? Because next week, this conversation can't happen again. This same conversation they had at the podium today cannot happen again. How is he going to fix this? Because it hasn't just been last week. It hasn't just been the week before that. It just hasn't been this season.
It was the first half of all of last year, too.
It's been every single season that he's been in Philadelphia. And it's just so funny that in the light of the Yankees losing today and Jalen Ramsey going to L.A., my two things in my sports life that I had known that I'm never going to achieve is Brian Cashman trading for an ace or Jim Schwartz or any Eagles defensive coordinator having a number one cornerback. I've allowed it to happen. It's just going to continue to happen. And why this team and why this organization, which I don't know how the organization just doesn't want to do so. Like, how does Jeffrey Lurie see guys like
Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher and Leotis McKelvin
Nolan Carroll. One leg come in here and say, we need to do something about this cornerback position, because that's what he did at quarterback with Carson Wentz. That's what they need to do at cornerback, which to me is the biggest need that this
for
team,
sure. Like, man, like, don't get me wrong. We said at the first two segments, we've been saying we're not giving Rasul Douglas a pass or Sidney Jones or anyone that this corner depth chart has. They are limited. But the defensive coordinator has to help that limited bunch, because we've seen this personnel not play elite. They've never been an elite unit, but we saw this core right here that they have right now without making a trade. You've seen them play a lot better than they have this year. And that's why you can point to scheme too, is because you have seen this core, limited as they are, look a lot better than they have this season. And that falls on Jim Schwartz too. So it's a culmination of everything. Sure. Does this defense also play better with leads? Absolutely. We didn't have to talk about this a lot in 2017 because the offense was scoring 24 points and a half. That's going to help. The pass rush being more consistent. I think the pass rush has been pretty good this year, but there's been a couple games where they have not been able to move the offensive line back. That will help too. But Jim Schwartz cannot just get a free pass and walk up to the podium and just have the audacity to me, although he didn't come out and just do it. It was pretty clear that, and he was even kind of criticizing Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones today, it was pretty clear that he believes this is solely on execution. And to me, that is just unwarranted. It's irresponsible. And he just has to change as much as Howie Roseman needs to trade for a corner for me.
Absolutely.
Or else nothing's going to change. Even with Jalen Ramsey, if there is the miscommunications, especially in zone coverage, like if you're not going to allow a guy like Jalen Ramsey to just blanket a receiver and he has certain responsibilities and there are those breakdowns on the field, it doesn't matter who's there. No one is going to catch up to Stephon Diggs when he has a 25-yard head start on you, right? So that's on coaching too. It's a culmination of everything. I know people want it to be black or white. Whose fault is it? One guy or the other? It's not that simple. It's not that easy, and I know some people want it to be that because it's easier for their minds to be rested that way, but this is a team thing. This is Howie Roseman. This is Jalen Mills and Darby and Jones and Douglas, but this is Jim Schwartz too. It's Corey Umlin, like you said. No one should get a pass for this, and it's something that's got to be fixed. You might get by Dallas this week without Amari Cooper, but and again, you might make the playoffs, but I do not want to play some of these teams. If the Kansas City Chiefs, I know they're in the AFC, but I mean, we saw what happened when a team like Minnesota has two high-quality receivers. Even with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback, it didn't matter. They destroyed us.
And I think if you guys watched last night's game, that is a great understanding of two defensive coordinators that put their players in position to win at all times. Justin Coleman, you look at him in Detroit right now. I graded him out last year for the Scouting Academy on his 2017 tape. He was a good, solid contributor. I'd say solid to good slot corner in Seattle. What he has been under the coaching of Matt Patricia has been all pro level.
And we've seen guys like Logan Ryan look great with him. Even Eric Rowe looked kind of good under Matt Patricia.
And look at what Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. Look at what those guys are now.
Yeah, in Tennessee, they're not the same at all.
Has elevated all of his defensive backfield. Mike Patton, look at guys. He had Josh Jackson playing safety. Josh Jackson's a corner. He knows how to put his guys and their skill set in the right position to win. Jim Schwartz just doesn't. He just doesn't get it. We talk about it all the time with the little things of playing Rasul up to the line. If he's going to play at the line, get your hands on the guy. And he just, it's these little nuances of the game that you just appreciate in very good corners, and you appreciate in the guys like Jalen Ramsey, and you appreciate like the guys in Patrick Peterson. What is the root cause of this? You haven't seen a dramatic increase in the skill level of your corners year over year. You haven't seen a continued development in those corners year over year. I truly believe it's all on the coaching with this year. Like,
well,
you have
their responsibility. Like, players, they need to develop, but coaches are supposed to help that development.
Yeah, you have to push these guys along. And if
you don't think Frank Reich helped out Carson Wentz develop, or you don't think they elevated Nick Foles, you're damn right they elevated Nick Foles.
They talk about the biggest reason why Carson was so great in his development is because of all the quarterback and the great minds that they brought around him.
It was just back and forth.
You bring Doug Peterson, you bring Frank Reich,
DeFilippo,
you bring John DeFilippo.
That's right.
I just continue to get this square peg round hole vibe with Jim Schwartz.
Let me ask you before we
continue to see that
absolutely
happening.
Before we wrap up the show, heading into Dallas, because to me it would be very unjust. I don't think it'd be warranted at all for Rasul Douglas to be benched. It would also be the least shocking thing ever. When these guys start to get healthy, and hypothetically, let's say they don't add somebody, just right now they have what they have. Where do you think they go from here? I think that last game opened up a window for Jim Schwartz to go back to what he wants. And to me, that's Darby on the outside, and that's Jalen Mills on the outside. And I think when Avante Maddox comes back, that's your slot corner, and you roll. And unfortunately, I think that is the way it happens. The way I would honestly do it now, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't know. I would almost, if they don't do anything else, give me back the corner, the trio from last year down the stretch. That is when they got hot. Give me Rasul and Maddox with Cravon. That's kind of what I want
at this point.
Like, if everybody's healthy.
I don't know if Maddox, the last game he had to play on the outside, he got toasted.
Yeah, but I think there was more good from him on the outside last year than just, I don't know, I don't want to assume anything from one
game. You know what
game.
I want, Lou? Talking about playing nickel, talking about playing dime. I want Avante Maddox to be in a position where he can cover, where he can use his ability to tackle, where he can use his range, where he can be on the field and he can help those guys, where he doesn't have to just be one-on-one, where he can be in a position to shade to either side. You are going to have to adapt. I'm fine with playing Ronald Darby on the field. I'm fine with playing Jalen Mills. But you need to give those guys help. You need to give Rasul Douglas help. You're going to need to give Kravon LeBlanc help. Start to move towards these coverages that San Diego, or I keep saying San Diego, that it's going to be, well, St. Louis. I heard a rumor today that they might be moving to St. Louis.
Well, they're the nomadic Chargers right now. So nomadic, just give them,
yeah, we'll
some
go with
sort
that.
Of home.
We'll go with that. The the nomadic Chargers.
Yeah.
What they did last year, even though in the playoffs it didn't work because obviously Bill Belichick is going to out-scheme them, but
right.
against a unit like Jason Garrett, where you know that you can out-scheme Jason Garrett, just get your defensive backs on the field because that's where they're going to beat you. You can stop the run with four. They've done it plenty of times. Fletcher Cox can stop the run in the middle by himself.
Yeah, stop stacking eight in the box.
You don't need 19 guys in the box every single play. You are not going to go anywhere in this NFL under that mentality.
Never.
So put these guys in the best position to win in-house. They brought these guys in for a reason. Their evaluators thought that they could fit into this scheme for a reason. They're still here for a reason. Now put them in the position to excel for the reasons that you brought them into this
building. I just have a hunch
building.
It's going to be Mills and Darby.
I do too, but even if it is just...
I think this week they'll rotate.
Do things to supplant it. Like, bring in Sendejo and Maddox and play nickel for down, you know? And
yeah.
then have Camus and let him rove. Just try different looks because what is the Jim Schwartz defense? He's going to one-up you in the box every single time. You're probably going to have numbers on the back end because he doesn't like to play Malcolm Jenkins high. And he throws the same blitz looks at you every single time. You have to do something different in that defense. It hasn't worked this year. It hasn't worked in 2018. It didn't work in 2017 when Tom Brady threw for 505 yards.
That's right.
On Darby and Mills in the Super Bowl.
That's why I don't
want
to hear they
still
were Super Bowl starting corners for me because I just don't.
Time
I don't
is
accept
a flat
that.
Circle, my friend. We're here again after a Minnesota loss, wondering how we should fix our secondary.
Yep.
Time is a flat circle.
We'll keep an eye on it. We got the trade deadline in a couple weeks. We got guys coming back healthy. I would imagine this week they probably go, assuming Darby and Mills are healthy. I don't know if that is something that's fair to assume, but let's just say it does happen. I think the move would be to rotate those two like they did Douglas and Jones a lot at the beginning of the season, let Rasul play on the outside,
mm-hmm.
maybe Jones inside in the slot. Who knows, though, but we'll keep a close eye on it because there's a lot going on with the secondary right now. Avante Maddox should be back soon. Kravon LeBlanc is eligible in a couple weeks to come off the IR, but I think the theme of today's show is, damn it, they should have got Ramsey. They need more out of Schwartz, and Howie Roseman should still be looking to make a move here at the cornerback position if the Eagles want to get to where they were hoping to get in this 2019 NFL season. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for joining Gino and I on the show. Make sure to subscribe on any podcast provider or check us out on LockedOnEagles.com. And the conversation always continues on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.